healing usually doesn't show up on a retreat. It shows up on an ordinary day. You've been doing the work for months, maybe years, and if someone asks you whether it's working or not, you might say, I think so, but it's hard to tell. Peak experiences are easy to notice. The session where you cried for the first time in years, or that weekend retreat that felt life-changing, the instant that reframed everything about your experience, those are really easy to spot. What's harder to notice is the morning that just started and there wasn't that baseline background anxiety, or you didn't have the Sunday scaries. It happened so gradually that you almost didn't register that there was a change. That is the work working. Today, I want to talk about three specific signs of genuine progress that most people often miss, not because they're not paying attention, but because progress doesn't look like what they've been told it would look like. And I'm going to call them the Tuesday signs, small, behavioral, and easy to dismiss as coincidence, but they're not, they're evidence. Genuine progress rarely announces itself. It just shows up and isn't noticed. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about the signs of healing, because I think there's a really easy way that we miss what is working. And it's because things usually are subtle. Most people, I would say, measure their progress against the standard that isn't correct. They compare their current state to what the fully healed version of themselves they're working towards. And that comparison is important. I don't want to knock it, mostly because it's good to have a goal, right? But usually that comparison produces a feeling of inadequacy, because you're measuring yourself against something that isn't exist or is imagined. And with health stuff, like physical health stuff, it's easy to do that because you think, oh, I never used to have whatever it was when I was younger. And the reality is maybe you didn't, and maybe you did. Maybe you just played through it or just didn't notice it, right? The comparison that actually reveals progress is a different comparison, though. And it's comparing your current state to where you were 6 months ago. Not, am I where I want to be, but am I different from who I was? And that question asked honestly is where the evidence lies. Now, two things before we get into the signs that I think is really important to recognize. And the first is, our nervous systems rapidly normalize gains. What felt like relief 3 months ago now becomes your baseline, right? Once it becomes normal, you stop counting it as change. And it's interesting, like people who are depressed, let's say, or let's just say sad as opposed to depressed, when they start to feel better, they notice that, right? What they don't notice is that gradual uptick that's happening from a level of happiness that's here to here, right? Because you were so down in the dumps, potentially, at one point, you notice coming out of the dumps. What you don't notice is the gradual piece of that. And there's lots of studies about this, by the way. some of them have to do with income and how much income we need to make to feel happy. Really interesting. And I think the same principle applies here. The normalization that shows up is a sign how real the change is. But you have to look backwards usually to see the evidence of it. And sometimes we don't track that, right? But oftentimes we remember, oh, when I got out of bed, I felt dread on Monday morning. I mean, I can speak from this from my own personal experience. When I got out of bed one day, I was in my 30s. I was like, wow, I have no pain. I couldn't remember the last time I got out of bed without pain. It was before high school. And it was so freeing. But clearly it had been happening. Like, there had been gradual progress. And probably it had happened multiple times before that time that I noticed it. The second thing that is that most people aren't missing progress because they're inattentive. The wound or the injury felt enormous. So the expectation is that the healing will feel enormous too. And when it doesn't, we assume nothing is happening. I liken this to breaking your arm. The break probably happened in an instant, but most people take 6 weeks of being in a cast for it to heal. And when that's happening, you're just experiencing the discomfort of having a cast on your arm, right? When we realize that, oh, this is happening gradually, like there's something happening underneath the covers, as it were, that's part of this process. And counting progress doesn't mean lowering your standard. It means recognizing there's movement. And if none of the signs are present after sustained effort, we'll talk about what that means at the end. For now, let's look at the first sign. So the first sign is what I would call a response gap. And this is not that what happens doesn't trigger you. It's what happens afterwards. In other words, you may have an experience of something and that sends you off into whatever it is it sends you off at. This isn't looking at your recovery time as the indicator of what is changing. So not that the activation occurs. Activation happens, right? We have activation for all kinds of reasons. But how long it takes to return to the baseline after the activation? What it looks like before is you'd have an argument, and that argument might hijack your entire day. Or there's an email that lived in your body for hours, and it just stressed you out for hours. The interaction that required a full evening to process before sleep was possible, or the activation that arrived and just stuck around. That is what I mean by the activation and there being a lot of effort going in to trying to move beyond that. Now, when there's progress, you might still have the activation. And there's the same kind of trigger, the same situation that you feel that visceral experience. But now what happens is you return to baseline faster. In other words, it's not that you're suppressing things. It's that your nervous system has a capacity to complete the cycle and return to what happened before the activation. And instead of it taking a day, maybe it takes an hour or 20 minutes instead of 3 hours. Now, comparing this backwards, 6 months ago, the same thing you might have been running in your head until midnight. Today, it happened that you were done at noon with this. That's the space that the healing creates. And the response gap, that's a genuine thing that we can measure. The distance between our being activated and our return to baseline and how wide that is. It shows up physiologically. There's a stress response that activates our nervous system and recovery becomes more accessible. It shows up behaviorally when you realize mid-afternoon that something happened in the morning and you hadn't thought about it. It like was just gone. And it also can show up relationally. You can have conflicts that resolve faster, or you are able to get into the repair when before there might have been distance, sometimes for days. Healing creates space. And this is the first kind, the space between when we're triggered and the recovery. The sign isn't that you're no longer activated. The sign is that you come back faster and the cycle completes. And I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other end of the show, I'm going to talk about the other two signs and what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman, and today we're talking about the signs of healing. And the first one I talked about is the recovery gap. And I want to be sure, you know, that you understand that. And the next one is slightly different. It's called an observational gap. And this is a little subtler. Sometimes it doesn't feel like anything. It's the appearance of the gap between you and the pattern that you carry. So what it looked like before is you're inside the pattern and it was invisible to you because you were in it. It's like being the proverbial fish in water. You're just reactive, right? It just is. You're people pleasing, that just is. Or you're hypervigilance, that just is. You didn't have a vantage point to see that you are people-pleasing or you are hypervigilant, right? It's the pattern. When you start to notice that, that means you have stepped outside of it. And that's when things can shift. Sometimes before it happens and sometimes during the situation. Sometimes it's within minutes after rather than days after. The noticing doesn't stop the pattern every time, but the noticing is new. And I remember having a patient years ago who had a tremendous amount of trauma. And one day she said, wow, I'm reacting to this. And I never saw that I was reacting to this. And it's really interesting. And it was the first step that she had in terms of healing her trauma. So I'm going to give you three examples that a lot of people find universal that you can start to pay attention to. You hear yourself apologizing before you've done anything wrong or you haven't done anything wrong. The apology might still come out, but you're able to see it happen and hear yourself doing it. And that is new. Or maybe you're noticing yourself mentally rehearsing a difficult conversation over and over and over again. Maybe a year ago, you would have been in the rehearsal without even knowing you were doing that. And now you're aware, oh, I'm rehearsing. Or this is a really big one, I think, for a lot of people, which is you realize halfway through saying yes to something that you don't really want to do it. And the yes may still come out. You realize it mid-sentence rather than 3 days later and having the resentment build up. This is the vantage point. And I think it's an important one to recognize because most people miss this. And they oftentimes what we say is I'm still doing that. Nothing has changed. What has changed is the observational perspective. And that place is the beginning of choice. Many people think healing means becoming someone new or being totally different from where they are. But often it just means becoming someone who has 5 more seconds before an older pattern takes over. And then the 5 seconds becomes 10, and the 10 seconds becomes a minute. And eventually there's enough space that you're in a place of choice. A year ago, maybe you wouldn't have even noticed that thing. And now you're noticing it. And it's not a small thing. It's a kind of space that healing creates, a space between what the pattern is and what your relationship to it is. It's not about the pattern vanishing. It's lost its totality, and you become someone who has the pattern rather than someone who is living inside of that pattern. The third sign is, I'll say, it's that life costs less. And this is often most overlooked because it's so ordinary. It doesn't feel like healing. It just feels like your life is different somehow. And here's the underlying principle of this. Ordinary life costs less than it used to. And the question to ask yourself is this. At the end of the day, how much of you is left? How much energy do you have to do what it is that you want to do? Is it more than 6 months ago? Even slightly, that's a sign. Here's the thing. We often have repetition in our lives. Same days, same type of days, same interactions at work, same relationships, same responsibilities. But at the end of the day, we have slightly more resources available. And there's less management of energy to get through the day. This is what it might look like for some of you. You fall asleep more easily. When you wake up, you feel restored. It's not necessarily that it's perfect, but it's getting more of the job done than it was before. The morning that starts with more resources than you used to have. Comparing backwards, say 6 months, morning started with a baseline dread that is simply not as present as it was 6 months ago. Or maybe it has to do with your relationships, that the friendship that used to require days of recovery after you spent time with a particular person or particular people, maybe it's easier now, right? Or the conversation that goes all the way through without something shutting down in the middle of it. You might notice, oh, wow, I'm starting to shut down. Maybe that's interesting. And this one I love, which is this idea that you can rest without feeling like you have to earn it. The ability to sit for 20 minutes without the pull towards the list or something to do or spending time on your phone or whatever it is, and more capacity left at 7 o'clock at night than there used to be. Not because the day was easier, but because you spent less energy trying to manage the day. These are not spiritual experiences, by the way. This is a nervous system update showing up in ordinary life. The third kind of space that healing creates is more live space, more of the day available without being consumed by managing everything about the day, trying to control everything. And for many people, lasting change doesn't arrive in one enormous moment. In fact, I would argue that it's really, really rare in this particular case. It arrives in dozens, if not hundreds, of ordinary moments that slowly over time change the texture of your daily life. A year ago, that Tuesday would have cost a lot more, and this one didn't. And that's the third sign. Noticing something about all three, none of them require the pattern to be gone. None require perfection. They just require a comparison to a baseline from the past. And I think it's important because I think a lot of times there is an expectation in healing, whether it's relationship or physical, whatever it is, of perfection, right? It's like when you dent your car, you expect it to be fixed perfectly as it was brand new. But the reality is sometimes things are just a little different, right? I mean, that's just how life is. So comparison reveals progress is always backwards in this particular way. Where were you 6 months ago? And what did an ordinary day cost you then? And if you make that honest comparison, that's usually where the evidence is. Now, if you've done an honest comparison that nothing has shifted after sustained effort, that information is really worth acting on because it's not evidence of failure. It's about information about, I'll say, the conditions, whether where you're working on something is at the right level, I'll say, or whether something else is needed. But if one of those signs is present, faster return, observation that wouldn't have been there, or a day that costs less, that's evidence, and I would count it. And if none of them are present after months of real effort, the honest answer isn't more effort. Sometimes what we're doing is working in the wrong layer, I'll say. It could be that the physiological layer may need more attention before the psychological layer can reach there. Or maybe the relational container needs to be different so that the physiology can heal. The wrong level of intervention is one of the most common reasons that I see that we get partial results. The information is worth acting on, not as a failure, but understanding of the direction. So one question to sit with, think back to 6 months ago, not to where you want to be, but to where you were. What was going on 6 months ago? And ask yourself, what is different now? Even one thing, something that went different. And then let yourself count it, not as proof of arrival, but as evidence of movement, forward movement. The work is not supposed to feel like transformation every day. Most days, it doesn't feel like anything. The session that went nowhere, or the practice that produced no peak experience, the week that passed without insight, and then you realize you came back from something in an hour rather than in 3 days, or you notice mid-pattern and you rested, or you rested without needing to earn it. Whatever it is, count it. Celebrate. Whether you understand this through the nervous system regulation, through psychological development, through contemplative practice, the signs tend to look similar. And they basically are recovery speed, observation gap, and I'll just say life costing less. The reason ordinary progress matters is because ordinary life is where we mostly live. And healing was never meant to feel extraordinary. Maybe it's most to leave more of you available to live your life. And it's not about a new life. It's about having the ability to live the one you already have. Next week, I'm going to talk more about one of the archetypes and its ceiling, why achievement stops feeling like enough, and what that ceiling consists of. And if you haven't taken the archetype quiz, the healing archetype quiz, this is a great time to do it. In the show notes, I have the link. It's at askdrgill.com/archetype-quiz. It's really helpful for understanding where you are in the process of your healing, because if you're trying to do something at the wrong level, and I've seen this and I've talked about this on the show, like taking vitamins when you're really depleted can actually make your nervous system worse. So we want to make sure we're working at the right place and then move forward from there. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you and have a great rest of your day.